Hello and welcome to All Saints and St Andrew's Online and our last hour of the cross service on this Good Friday. And today our service is entitled To Faith and Unbelief in the Shadow of Death. And my name is Reverend Peter Myers. I'm the curate here. And Judith Keane is one of our lay readers. And we're together going to lead you through this service of reflection. Before we get going, we're going to invite you to have something to hold at various stages through the service. And so you might want to get hold and get ready a cross, any cross that you might have to hand, a phone, a candle, and also a glass of water. And those will become apparent later in the service. Also, I want to offer the phone number of a pastoral team that will be able to pray for you. The phone number is coming up on the screen at the moment and will appear at different times during the service. But I would encourage you that if you would like prayer ministry later today, to text that number. Don't give me any details. Perhaps you might want to put your name, but just put one word. Say healing or bereavement or hope. And I and others will pray for you. You don't need to give any other details, but you can just be assured that we are praying for you. So let us draw into a moment of silence and prepare our hearts. Why don't you welcome the Holy Spirit into wherever you are now. So this is the last hour of the cross. We come to be with Jesus in his hour of need, to remember his passion and death upon the cross, and to reflect on the deep themes of the cross that are invoked in us. Our experience through the pandemic may help us to connect with this moment, Jesus's darkest hour. For Jesus, this was a moment of utter rejection, of abandonment, humiliation, loneliness, isolation, and hopelessness, and ultimately death. Many of those feelings and experiences I'm sure that we can relate to this year more than ever. And if during the service this provokes deep emotions within you, perhaps even bringing tears to the surface, I want to encourage you to allow that to happen. It's okay. And in fact, it's important to allow that emotion to flow. And if that does happen, then perhaps again, you might want to text us and allow us to pray for you. In each section of the service, there's going to be a short passage of scripture, a reflection, a period of silence for our own meditation, prayer, and a piece of music. So let us begin in prayer. In the shadow of our suffering is the suffering of Jesus. In the shadow of our weakness is the vulnerability of the Christ. In the shadow of our pain is the God who cried out, "We are never rejected. We are never abandoned." You might at this moment like to take hold of a cross. And our first reading comes from John 19, verses 16 to 25. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered them, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers crucified Jesus. They took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture may be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his father, her mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Paid my ransom. Your wounds have paid my ransom.
So in our first section, we are going to focus on Jesus' first words from the cross. Here is your son. And we see how even in his agony, Jesus thought of others and showed the way that his followers could create new relationships or communities of care when others had been lost. And the reading is from John 19, verses 25 to 27. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This word from the cross shows us Jesus' very human heart and his care both for his mother but also for his beloved disciple John. These two have come all the way with him, even to the foot of the cross. Their grief has brought them together, and Jesus asks them to care for one another when he is dead. Woman, here is your son. Son, here is your mother. In the face of his own death, Jesus is creating new bonds of family and relationship. From a place of pain, it is Jesus who is seeking to protect and care for his loved ones, to help them to know that they have each of them a purpose and a responsibility to each other after his death. It echoes his life's work of bringing isolated and unloved people together into new communities of care. Look after my mum is a very human response to an appalling situation. In this past year, we have seen relationships suffer in a way none of us have experienced before. We have been unable to see or hug our loved ones for extended periods of time. We have had to communicate through new means, using sometimes unfamiliar technology, and at a distance. We have worried for vulnerable and isolated friends and family, and we have experienced bereavement as individuals, as a nation, and as a global community. Yet, Jesus shows that relationships can flourish even in difficult times, and that new models of relationship that he shows us can create new communities of care within our church and more widely in society. These relationships are based not upon ties of blood and family, but are a new family of choice through him. When so much is fractured and broken, Jesus longs for us to belong together in intentional communities of love. We're going to move into a time of silence, and you may like to hold your phone or a tablet to represent the ways that we have sought to retain relationships and build new ones online and at a distance over the past year. And so we take into the silence the acknowledgement of the last year, but also memories of our own loss, grief, aloneness, the picture of our own circle of friends and family, and the challenge of where we are being called into new community. So let us pray. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Lord Jesus, throughout all seasons of life, both joyful and difficult, you draw us into new relationships and care. Sometimes in joyful times and sometimes in response to need and brokenness. You help us to rebuild our broken communities through your generous, inclusive love. Help us now to open our hearts and our homes to find new ways to belong together within the promise of your kingdom. Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh Mary, did you know? Thank you. of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby born would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great
So we now come to the second word from the cross, when Jesus cries out in pain and need, I am thirsty. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This word from the cross, I am thirsty, speaks of real human need, the most basic need of all. In the heat of the sun, and racked by pain, Jesus cries out, I thirst, I am thirsty, give me a drink. He who is the living water, bubbling up for others to find life, he is now the one thirsty. Jesus lived a life of generous giving. He poured himself out for others. But he was not afraid to name and know his own needs. He was not afraid to ask for help. In this cry from the cross, I am thirsty, we see his willingness to receive and to be needy. In a world of competence, which prizes strength and ability and self-reliance, these words can encourage us to acknowledge our own incompetence and vulnerability, our own real needs. It's something hard for us to recognize what we really need. There are so many things that we think we want in life, consumer products to pamper and comfort us, luxuries to build up our self-esteem, so many non-essentials that crowd in on us. All these are diversions, camouflaging our real needs and leaving us diminished and dissatisfied. Lockdown has deprived us of so much. There has been a stripping back for so many of us. And hasn't that in many ways been a good thing? Has lockdown not exposed the shallow needs and distractions of the noisy world around us? And as time has passed in our isolation, has it not caused us to cry out, I am thirsty? But to cry out for what is truly essential. In its most basic need, thirst is a cry for the essence of life, water. Without water, we die. But after all these months in isolation from one another, what are you truly thirsty for? What is truly essential? Can we see more clearly the dissatisfying appetites of modern living and now see what are the deep essentials of our humanity for which we really thirst? This may be a physical contact. It may be a hug, eating with others, laughing with others, being with friends and family. Or is it the spiritual need for God's love for you and me? As we go into our next period of silence, you might like to have with you a glass of water to look and ponder in this time of silence. So let me pray. We take into silence our own dryness and thirst, our own deepest needs, and an openness to receive. Amen. So let us pray. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Gracious God, you know our deepest needs. Help us to hear them too. Amid the clamoring voices of want and desire, we thirst for your unconditional love. Help us to receive you now. Amen.
Thank you.
And so we come to Jesus' final words on the cross. As he knows that the end is near, he calls out, "It is finished." As it tells us in John 19, verse 30, when Jesus had finished the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Jesus' last word from the cross is St. John's Gospel. It is finished. The horror is over. It's accomplished. He's done it. The work is done. In the eyes of the world, the eyes of the friends with him, the eyes of the disciples, the eyes of the people who had cheered him on Palm Sunday, this is a moment of absolute failure. But in the purposes of God, this is the final consummation of an act of unconditional love for the world. And these words don't imply a defeated sense of relief that his suffering is over and his life is ending. A Greek word is used that is a word with a strong, triumphant ring. It is accomplished. It is complete once and for all. In hospital, where the doctors fight for every moment of life for a patient, death can be seen as a failure. This year, we have seen day after day after day the numbers adding up of those who have lost their lives to COVID. And we sometimes speak of winning or losing the battle against illness. But hospices, over the past few years, the hospice movement has reminded us of the possibility of a good death, of being able to let go into the ultimate healing of heaven. This past year, more than ever, we have seen our lack of control over our lives, the unexpected twists and turns that life can bring, and the devastating impact that that can have on us. But for Jesus, there is a recognition in those words, "It is finished," that his death came as the completion of a life lived to the full, offered for others. And as we understand this more fully, perhaps it can help us to face our own death without fear, even when it is sudden and unexpected. For our next time of silence, I would encourage you to take a torch or a candle to remind us that Jesus is the light shining in the darkness and that the darkness has not overcome it, even as he died on the cross. We take into the silence our own sense of mortality, our own accomplishments and achievements, an openness to what lies beyond our horizon, recognizing that we don't know what lies ahead of us, but trusting in the Lord who went ahead to prepare a place for us in his Father's house. Amen. So let us pray. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Gracious God, accomplish in us your purposes, complete in us your work of healing love, that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we may find you one step ahead of us, leading us home. Amen.
Jesus cried, "It is finished." But did the natural circumstances that everyone surrounding the cross could see, did that tell the whole story? Do our circumstances that we experience now tell the whole story? As we draw into our final section of our service, we ask that question, do our circumstances tell the whole story? And the reading is chapter 19, John 19, verses 31 to 42. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 35 kilograms. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial custom. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Ten days ago, Reverend Helen Wilkinson, one of our community, offered three words she felt God wanted to share with us as a church. Wait, trust, and hope. As Jesus is placed in the tomb, we can only really imagine the confusion and despair the disciples must have felt. But life, the earth, all continues to spin. The now becomes the past, the future becomes the now, and the cycle begins again. Tomorrow does bring a new day, a new hope. We sit now in a tomb of the COVID pandemic. It might feel like that there is a huge stone across the door. But like the disciples who needed to wait, to trust, and to hope, so we too are called to wait, trust, and hope as we sit in the tomb of uncertainty and bewilderment in this last hour. Let me finish with a prayer and a blessing, and then our service will end with a final piece of music. Let us pray. Gracious God, your hands now bear the wounds, our heart now holds the agony of that appalling cross. Hold us in your everlasting arms as we face the little deaths of daily life and the great mystery of our own mortality. May we find you there beside us, light in our darkest hour. Amen. And let us say together, the cross of Christ, you took our worst, you gave your best. You took our hate, you gave your love. You took that cross, you changed everything. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.